Okay, good evening. We are live. Welcome, prisoners and slaves. This is Steve Roberts, and this is Cancel a Cabal. As you can see by the promo there, my very special guest tonight is Maxwell Egan. How are you doing tonight, Max?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Nice to be on the show.
Well, thank you for joining us. We've got lots of questions already. Hang on a second. I better get this first one here. Never mind that. Anyways, one of my first questions is I wanted to get your thoughts on the new Pope. He is supposedly a Jesuit priest. Have you heard anything of this? I've only heard small rumors in this. Do you know of anything?
Look, not really. I only know that there has been a new Pope appointed and he comes from Argentina. But, I mean, if it would make sense that he would be a Jesuit because, I mean, the Jesuits are behind a lot of what's going on in the world, you know, when you look at the whole control grid. But, I mean, the whole Vatican system, I mean, it's very interesting, the whole Pope thing, actually. I'm wondering whether he will be the last Pope, perhaps the Black Pope that everyone's talked about because, you know, like the predictions of Malachi and stuff like that. That say that there'll only be a certain amount of popes, and at the end of that, we'll see the fall of Rome. And when they say the fall of Rome, I really see it as the fall of the Roman system, the fall of the corporate system that controls the place. So I think it's significant in that respect, is that it just appears that we are getting closer to the actual end game, and we're going to see some big changes happen.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about, the St. Malachi prophecy, the 113 popes. I wanted to get your insight on that.
It could be it. I mean, it's good to see, really. I mean, Pope Benedict was a very, very short term. We haven't had a Pope resign for, 500 years or something like that. So it's pretty amazing that he just stepped down like that. But he had some pretty remarkable energy about him, that guy. And there was a lot of controversy surrounding him. But this, you know, the way he stepped down and this guy just coming, well, it could very well be the end of the Roman system that we're about to see, possibly even within the next, you know, 18 months or something like that. Well, that's what I'm hoping anyway.
Do you think that means the prophecy is all about the final black pope, the Antichrist is being ushered in?
Look, I don't... Personally, I don't buy into the whole Antichrist thing. I think there's something a lot deeper going on. I think that there's a lot of control systems that have been put in place, and I think religion's one of them. And I find the prophecy of St. Malachi to be hopeful at best. You know, I mean, I hope that we're about to see the end of the Roman Empire. I think that we're about to see some pretty massive change in the world. But I think it's going to come down to us ultimately. I think the matter of the Antichrist and all this sort of stuff is a huge red herring. I think that people are being taught to just sort of watch this like a sideshow, and it's almost like a spy novel to people. They're waiting for the next installment. They're looking at this whole thing unfolding on the global stage. They're told about all this conspiracy, but they're not seeing what the solution to it all is, which I believe ultimately comes down to ourselves. I think we're going to see a huge awakening this year, and that's what's going to bring down the whole thing. I don't think that any of the fall of Rome, as they talk about, and the rise of the Antichrist and all this sort of stuff, I think it's all going to come down to us. But I don't think that human consciousness will go that way. I really think that we'll wake up and we'll discover ourselves and we'll take the matter in hand. I just have a very different way of looking at things. I find the whole Antichrist and God versus Satan scenario, I consider this to be religious programming, Roman programming, which externalizes everything and prevents people from discovering their inner power. That's really the way I look at all that stuff.
Okay. So you don't actually believe that it's all going to be doom and gloom when this Roman system falls, as you say then?
No, not at all. I think the Roman system has done a huge amount of damage to the planet. If you look at the state the world is in today, it's because of the Roman system. It's because of the religious perspectives that have been pushed on everybody. And, you know, they claim to follow the teachings of the Christ, but really if you look at what the church does and you look at what governments that these governments who march out across the world in the name of the church, you look at what these people do, they don't support the teachings of Christ at all. So it's not about Christ per se. Christianity and the church and the Roman system has got nothing really to do with Christ. That's just a figurehead that they use to cover up what they actually do. What it is a corporate system that goes out and exploits the world. I mean, this is the old world order that has created the situation that we see today. They're trying to create a new world order from their old world order, of course. But, you know, I think human consciousness, we are going to create something different. I don't think it's going to be doom and gloom at all. I think it may get a little bit worse yet, but that's simply because people need it to in order to wake up to what's going on here. But I think ultimately we're heading for a good place. I think we're going to come through all this. I think that there's going to be some major changes that happen. I just don't think you can keep human consciousness back. You know, human consciousness wants to go to the next level. And we're more awake now than we ever have been in history. We've got the system laid more bare than it's ever been. And we're almost at a point of human evolution, conscious evolution, where we are spiritually evolved enough to deal with being free. And I think we've been given an opportunity to do that. I think a lot of people are waking up to the fact that this whole system that enslaves us only actually exists on paper. We just made it all up. I mean, the government only exists on paper. It's not real. It's not like it's this big monster that's coming to eat us. It's just rules written down in books, and men in expensive suits go to big buildings and do what it tells them to in these books, and they work within the parameters of things that are written on these pieces of paper. It's just fiction. We made the whole lot up. People are starting to realize that. And I think, you know, this is all relates to the Roman system. And I think we're escaping from that. I think it's a huge time in human history. It's a very, very important time. I think this is the big awakening. This is the apocalypse, if you will. I mean, the apocalypse means unveiling, the great revealing. That's what the apocalypse is. It isn't a big battle between good and evil. Well, in a way it is, because the unveiling is a battle between good and evil. But it's a battle of consciousness. It's a battle of spirit, a battle of mind. We're seeing the evil of the system, the corporate system, the Roman system, laid before us, totally bare for all to see. We can see the rape and damage and degradation of the planet. We can see the incredible inhumanity towards the animal kingdom and towards other human beings all over this planet, all in the name of the economic system, which has been put in place through the Roman banking system. That's who created central banking, was Rome. And, you know, we can see where it's all gone. So there's the battle between good and evil. It comes in the great revealing, because that's what the great revealing, the great unveiling, the great apocalypse is. It's an unveiling of all of these systems. It all becomes laid bare for us all to see. And we can see the choice. We can see the choice to either comply with the system or refuse to comply with the system, because it's simply fiction, and to start supporting each other and respecting each other. You know, once we start respecting each other, the whole system breaks down. It's really that simple to fix. All we'd have to do would be to respect each other and start supporting each other rather than an economic model, and we could change the world in 3 seconds.
Yes, exactly. I'm going to make a quick adjustment here. I need to get that back. Okay, I'm going to back on your audio just a little bit. Can you give me a 1-2 test, please?
How's that? Sounding a little bit better?
No. I'm going to back a little bit more. I'm not totally positive how to do this. Okay, I guess I'm just going to have to deal with this. I'm not totally positive how to do that. My next question comes from somebody in the audience. They would like to know, One People's Public Trust. I'm not sure what that is. Do you know what that is?
I certainly do. There's been a lot of controversy surrounding that lately.
Okay.
So what was the question?
Question is, I think they just want it to be explained. Because I'm not even sure what it is.
Well, what the One People's Public Trust claims to have done is to have made a UCC filing, which basically, and they've done it within the parameters provided by the UCC system. And I suppose to give a little bit of background, the UCC system is the Uniform Commercial Code. And the Uniform Commercial Code controls every aspect of commerce on this planet. And since our governments are all corporations and everything we do is commerce, I mean, the whole human experience has been reduced to commerce within the parameters of this system. You know, even when a traffic officer gives you a parking ticket, it's commerce. You've got to pay rates to the council, it's commerce. Everything's commerce that we do. Time is money. That's the way we live. You go to work, they pay you for your time, it's commerce. So it all comes under the UCC system. So what this, the One People's Public Trust did was, within the parameters by the system, by the UCC system, within the parameters that all of these different UCC filings and corporate entities have been created that have been used to enslave us, and this is what how they've done it. They've done all these filings in UCC. They've created this entity which now controls humankind, basically. So what they did is they went in there and they used the parameters of that corporate system to create a filing which basically said that if you are alive, then you come under the umbrella of this trust and that you are no longer answerable to the UCC system. You're only answerable to the Creator. Whatever you perceive the Creator to be, could be the Christian God, could be Yahweh, could be Allah, could be anything, whatever it is, the Galactic Federation, I don't care. Whatever you perceive your God to be, you're only answerable to that Creator, according to this filing, if you are alive. So what that did is it essentially freed humanity from the UCC system. And what the Trust has tried to do since then, I believe, is put together a series of things called CVACs. They're trying to find a way of making a switch over from the old system to the new system. And the significance of this, what they're trying to do here, is that everything the government brings against you, any court you go to, any parking ticket, anything you get from the government, is basically under UCC law. That's how they're able to farm you, because this is really people farming. It's human trafficking. It's debt slavery that we're all in. It's a slavery system, a debt slavery system that we all live in. And so this is all done under UCC. So now you can sort of question and say, well, hang on, if you're going to bring that UCC system and use that UCC system against me, now within that system there exists a filing that says that if I'm alive, then I'm only answerable to my Creator, which means you can't use that UCC system against me anymore unless you can rebut this filing and prove that you created me. So that's kind of what they've done. And what they seem to be attempting to do with creating some sort of new transitionary system, seems to be what's freaking people out. They're going, oh, it's the new world order. Because, of course, people will complain about the old world order, but then they'll resist any change to it at all. If you try to bring in anything that looks like it's going to significantly change the old world order that created this mess that we're currently in, people claim it's the new world order, and they run a mile. So that's what's going on here. And the people that are doing the trust, I mean, they're sort of wondering and stumbling through this and wondering how to now transition from the old system to something new. But the thing is that what they've done is they've put together a mechanism that we can use to do this, to make this transition. And the thing is that the government can't deny these filings. The argument is that if the filings stand there unrebutted, then they must stand as law because they haven't been rebutted. If they're filed into UCC and they stand unrebutted, then they must stand as law. There are people that will argue this and say, no, no, they don't mean anything. They don't have to be rebutted because they don't mean anything. Well, okay, because they were filed using the parameters of the UCC system, if they don't mean anything, then neither does the UCC system, and so therefore neither does the government, neither does anything that comes under the UCC system, so the whole system doesn't exist anyway by default. If they're going to say these filings are invalid and they don't need rebutting, then that means their filings are invalid and they don't need rebutting either. So, you know what I'm saying? It kind of checkmates them. And I can really see that that's what this filing does. It checkmates them. All the rest of it below that is they're trying to find a way through it, I think. So it's been very interesting to watch. But with all the complaints and all the arguments that people have made against this initial filing, I can't see how they can rebut the logic of it because it's done under their rules, using their guidelines and their parameters. And if they're allowed to use that system to create a slavery system for us, then surely we, using their parameters, are able to file into the same system to file our freedom into the system. That's the way I see it. So I'm not sure what's going on with what they call the CVACs and the type of system they're trying to put in place below it. I know they're still discussing it, and there's all sorts of speculation over what it should be. But I see it as an opportunity. I see it as, at the very least, an opportunity where we can alert the average Joe public, to the fact that this is a corporate slavery system, and that there now exists a filing within that corporate slavery system that says you are free should you choose to use that filing. So this, I believe, opens a doorway and provides a gateway for the many, many people who have these alternate systems they want to put in place, but they can't do it because they can't garner public support for them. Well, now we've got this filing here, so let's use that to implement some of these new systems. But let's put it all together. Let's everybody get together at the same table and work out a new way of doing things, because we can't go on the way we are. It's simply not working. We're heading into this transhumanist nightmare. And it seems to be that, you know, the ship of state is sailing off the cliff, and there's just nobody at the helm. So we have to do something. And we can't resist every effort that's being made for change. I mean, I think the people from the OPPT have a good heart, and they're trying to do the right thing. And we can't be so resistant to every offer of change or every possibility of change that comes to us. We've got to stop bickering, and we've got to start putting all our cards on the table, really start looking at things objectively and find a way out of this mess that we're in. And it's no good petitioning governments or asking governments to do it. It's no good voting in a new party. We have to change our spirit, change our perspective, start respecting each other, and realize that whatever is going to work is good. Whatever is going to rock the boat is good. Whatever is going to wake people up to the fact that they live in a corporate system and cause them to step away from it is good. Because ultimately it's all fiction. And the way I see the OPPT, I see the main objective of the organization is to make itself redundant and to help people simply understand that they are free should they choose to be so. And I don't suggest anybody jump into anything, but the beauty of this as well is that they're not asking you to jump into anything. You don't have to make any filings. You don't have to fill out any forms. It's all been done. This filing has been made. It simply gives you a tool that you can use to bring against or argue, if you will, against the system. Or not even argue, but simply question. If you're saying you have authority over me, well, is this not a UCC system? And if it is, could you please rebut this filing? If you can't and you wish to contract with me, well, we can talk about it. But because this filing exists, it would appear that even under your UCC rules, we are now operating as simply two individuals interacting with each other. No one is any better or more powerful or has more authority than anybody else. And that's what I see as the basis of it. So yeah, it's interesting watching it all unfold. I hope that answered the question significantly anyway.
Yeah, it did. It brought up one. I'm not sure if this, I've caught, like I told you, quite a few presentations of yours or some of your shows here in the last few days. And, I caught one where you was talking about the Australian continent, and you happened to name all of the different areas, South Wales, northern part of the continent, and you gave the SEC, I think you called them.
The Security Exchange. The corporate numbers, the corporate registration numbers of all the states. See, Australia, the Commonwealth of Australia, is a corporate entity registered on the Stocks and Indexes Exchange, you know. And, you know, the SEC, the Security Exchange Commission. And all the states are registered corporations beneath it. And you find this with a lot of countries. It's all corporate. The whole empire is corporate. So that means it all comes under UCC. So, you know, you can't argue this stuff. It's all there. The evidence is there. And you'll find this, that most of your states are probably corporate as well. Most of your local councils are corporate. I mean, everything incorporates. They created this uniform system because everything does commerce. Every single action that we do, all the rates, like I said, your council rates, your fines from the police officers, you go to court, You do something wrong, you go to court, they fine you. It's all commerce. So they needed to create a system which would make it all uniform. So it's all UCC. It's all uniform commercial code. So that's what makes it, you know, this is a way out. It really is. I believe it to be a way out. People are saying, well, you know, they filed in UCC, so they're trying to enslave you to the UCC system. No, folks, you're already enslaved to the UCC system. They've just used it to create a filing that you can now use to hopefully get out of that system using their own rules. So you know you're free, but in case they don't know you're free, now you can show them this filing and say, well, happy to go along with what you want me to do if you can just rebut this filing. And this, you know, after, so I'm kind of leading up to, you know, doing that show and showing people that Australia is a corporate entity and that most of these countries are corporate entities. And if you go and look it up on Securities Exchange Commission, you can find it. This is kind of empowering for people because it makes them realize that they're not a member of the corporation. You know, we're all alive, and this is a corporate system that's being used against us. You know, the best thing to do is to know that it's there and to find out ways around it. I mean, you don't have to do what McDonald's tells you to do, so why do you have to do what a corporate government tells you to do? It's the same thing, really.
Right. Well, the network wants me to give out the Skype, so I will do that. See if we can take any calls. See if you'd like to take a call. The number is 347-609-0911. Anybody like to call in, ask Max a question, go ahead. Do that now. If not, we will move on to something else. We'll probably get into something else and we'll get interrupted, Max.
Well, that's all good.
Yeah. A few minutes ago, you were discussing the OPPT and you brought up transhumanism. Would you like to get into that some?
Well, that's really where we're going. You know, what we've got here is an agenda, which is basically merging humankind with machine. It's like a huge experiment that's going on. I was going to talk about this a little bit on my show this week, actually. It's like a huge experiment that's going on, but it's been done very haphazardly. We've got this, all sorts of stuff, you know, all the genetic modification of the species that's happening through GM food and all this sort of stuff. The nanotechnology and the stuff that's in the chemtrails that's been sprayed on people, the electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in, you put it all on the table, and what you see is an agenda to merge man with machine. And this has been presented to us, you know, for a very long time, you know, how eventually we'll have, you know, chips in the side of our head and we can hook up to the internet and have Google piped into the frontal lobe of the brain and all this sort of stuff, you know, be able to communicate to each other through chips that are in our head instead of telephones. We can do it through thought waves, all this sort of stuff. There's even stuff coming out now, games and headsets you can get where you can control the game by thinking about it. You can put on a headset, you can put a receiver on the game machine, and you can actually think what you want the control to do. So you don't even have to move to play the game. So it's becoming more and more like the Matrix. And they're getting people used to this type of reality, used to a virtual reality. And what I have suggested in my film, the last film I did, Transformation, was that this is already underway and that they're actually doing it through nanotech. See, people expect that transhumanism is going to come in the form of add-ons where you get an eye patch or you get an implant or something like that. But what I'm suggesting is that they are doing it already, but they're doing it from the inside out. They're doing it on a cellular level and on a genetic level through nanotechnology. And that's what I see happening. But ultimately, it's a haphazard experiment because they can't really know what they're going to get once it takes, you know, because everybody's biology is different and people have different vaccinations. They eat different food. So it's not a uniform across the board result that you're going to get. So who knows what the new species will look like, but there's a very, very, you know, if you look at everything and you look at it all and put it all together, you'll see there's a very, very active campaign underway to genetically alter all life on this planet from the ground up, because the nanotech is getting into everything, getting into all the plants and all the seed painting and the monocropping and the GM food that's infecting everything. All the GM plants and all the GM crops everywhere, GM trees, it's all affecting everything. So the ecosystem is changing. And it appears to be It's almost like humankind is attempting to turn itself into the Borg, and one would have to wonder why.
Yeah, they can already physically change us with the cell phones and some of the electronic devices where they resonate at the exact frequency of the human brain and the body. They can scatter the DNA.
It all comes together, you know, like all the electromagnetic soup that we're swimming in affects it very much. I mean, they've done tests where they've injected nanotech into rats, and then they've hit them with a radio wave, and it switched the genes on and off in the rats. So, you know, I mean, you're an electromagnetic being. We're all electromagnetic. You know, more than anything, we're electromagnetic. We've got biology, but most of it's water, you know, 85% water. So, you know, 15% of it is actually stuff, you know, the rest of it's water. And what is you is really electromagnetic. Everything you experience is electromagnetic. You know, the spark of consciousness, the life of your body, it's electric. It's all electrical. So, of course, you can be affected electromagnetically. So, yeah, that's what they're doing. And that's why I believe they want everyone to have a mobile phone. They want everyone to have this tech all around them, because it's an electromagnetic soup that they're using to influence us through all the nanotech and all the, who knows what's in the food and in the genetically modified food. And now when you add nanotech to it, as you can see, like it's a really, really haphazard experiment that's going on here. It's starting to rain here at the moment too, and I've got a tin roof. So if it gets heavy, it gets very, very loud at the moment. We've got some insulation coming in a couple of weeks, but I'll just warn you on that now.
Okay, that's fine. I can hear it in the background, but it's not terrible.
Oh, if it really comes down, it gets incredibly loud.
Boy, how about the Illuminati? I've heard you talk about them. Would you like to go into your thoughts on the Illuminati?
Well, look, you know, there are cabals that are in charge of things, and there is a plan that was put in place to basically control the world through control of the finances. And really, that's what the Bavarian Illuminati that we all talk about is. It was, it started from a meeting with Mayor Amschel Rothschild and 12 other families, and they all got together and they decided, okay, this is the way to do it. We can control the world through control of finances. We can control governments, and we can start wars. We can do everything through control of finances, and that's what they did. That's basically what the Bavarian Illuminati is. But, you know, I think there's, there's your ruling elite for you, but to say that they are a bunch of blood-drinking, baby-eating, shape-shifting aliens is another thing, you know. I think very often we give these organizations far too much credit for what we think they're capable of. And by doing so, we make them more powerful ourselves. I think that all of the problems, as I said earlier, I think all of the problems really come from our perspective of things, and that we can change things very, very easily by changing our perspective of things. And I think that we've been given an opportunity to do that. So I've done a lot of research into this, and there were times that I'm going, yep, there's this ruling elite, they're doing all these things. But then you step back and you look at it a little bit further, and you really start to see how haphazard this whole thing is and how much of an experiment it all is. And you start seeing that there's a little bit more to it, and the Illuminati is too easy a way out. And it also makes it this invisible hand that it makes it hopeless. We can never, ever reach this invisible hand of control. I believe more than anything, what we are facing is almost like a mind, a consciousness that's been superimposed over our own. I call it the predator mind. And I think the Illuminati, really, if you look at it, the Illuminati is the banking cartel that I mentioned before. But to think that they're this all-powerful thing, well, really they're not. I think that, as I said, we're making it powerful by believing that. And we don't give ourselves enough credit. We give the Illuminati far too much credit, but we don't give ourselves enough. And I'm beginning to learn that in other people as well. It gives us something to fight, and it gives us something to attack, but really it's a cloud. It's even when you fight the system, you're fighting a cloud. really, I've often said to people, what you've got to do is step away from the system. You know, sure, there are rich people and there are cabals that control a lot of aspects of life. There are cabals that control all the mining and the stripping of the resources and the genetic modification of the people, which is really the governments and royal cabals. And there is the other cabals that control all the finances, which is what you would term the Illuminati. Really, that would be the Bavarian Illuminati, and the other one would be the earlier Illuminati. You know, those who were illuminated enough to know how to run the rest of the world, how to control the rest of society. But I think we give it far too much credit, to be honest. I really do.
Do you think there are deeper hidden cabals other than the Bavarian Illuminati? Do you think there are higher structures?
Well, look, there are energetic structures that are put in place. The whole structure of our society, the structure of our roads, the structures of our buildings, these are all energetic structures. There is a higher consciousness that's at work here, but it's determining what that is and where it comes from, what it is that's superimposed itself over us and given us all these rabbit holes to go down so that we never really look within ourselves and never really look to see how deeply we're actually controlled. Because it's like a mind control. You know, the word magic and the spells that we're kept in, this completely false reality that we all believe to be real, it's quite remarkable that they've got humankind to believe what we believe. How we could have such high intelligence and such ridiculous belief systems, such animosity towards each other, such intolerance towards each other, such fear of showing ourselves to the people around us, our true selves to the people around us, the inner fear of anyone ever really knowing who we are and all this sort of stuff. Humankind is a very, very strange, strange creature, mankind. I mean, we've got some very, very strange stuff going on inside, and it's just difficult to be able to comprehend where it really came from. But it came from somewhere. I don't think it's natural to us. And I think we've been given all of these things to point our finger at, to scream at and shake our fist at, in order to not really look at ourselves. And a lot of people like to shake the fist at something. You'll see a lot of animosity between people, even in the alternative research community, because they will attack someone else. Because, I mean, they're fighting this big mythical ghost, this Illuminati that they can never actually reach. They can speak out about it all they want, but they never seem to stop it or be able to do anything about it. So it's a lot easier to attack someone they disagree with in the alternative research community, or someone who's questioned their own work or something like that. So there's all these things that we do to shift blame and to shift attention away from that which is really within us, I believe. And I think the Illuminati has been very much a mechanism that people have, well, it's been given to people to do this. And like I said, sure, there are ruling cabals. There are hands that guide certain parts of society. But I think we give them far too much credit, and I think we could change things very quickly if we really wanted to, by changing our own perspective.
Okay, I've got another question here I'm going to look at quick, Max. Have you ever considered doing a speaking tour with David Icke or others that do what he does?
Look, no, I haven't actually. I've done a couple of speaking events of my own, but I'm not really big on speaking events. I mean, I get talked into it sometimes. I did one in England when I was there. I did a couple in Croatia, and I'm doing one in Perth later on, you know, in a couple of months, I think, over here in Australia. But it's not something that I normally do. And I think, especially people like David, I mean, David will give you a 10-hour show, so it's hard to do an event with someone like that. And also, you'll find that everybody has slightly different perspectives, and when you do events with people, sometimes, I mean, it gives people completely different perspectives sometimes, and gives people completely different ideas. I mean, I've done it. I've done a few talks around here where there's been a few speakers, and I've got up and had a bit of a say, but I mean, I don't know. I'm not comfortable with public speaking. I much prefer to sit around. Actually, I had a gig in Zoo Studios in England that was really good. Actually, I was sitting on a chair, and the crowd were in beanbags and on couches, And that was very comfortable. It was like sitting around in a lounge room. I like those sort of gigs. It's more of a talking sort of a thing for me because I never really know what I'm going to be saying. But, like I said, I'm not really big on speaking gigs. I do them occasionally, but it's not my main forte. It's not something I really enjoy. I see that it's probably necessary to get out there and tell people, but really a lot of it's on the radio shows anyway. But, I don't know about doing big gigs with people like David. But of course, if you have an opposing view to someone as well, I mean, it's not nice to go out there and have someone, do a presentation and then you go out there and say, well, look, I disagree with everything that I just heard. I mean, that may not be the best way to strike up a friendship either, you know?
Right. Do you have any research or insights into the sovereignty movements, like in Canada or here in America or even in Australia, the sovereignty issue?
I think that people have done a fantastic job in all of the sovereignty and free man movements in all countries that they've been doing it, in America, in Canada, here in Australia, in Ireland. I think they've all done a fantastic job in exposing the system. And really, that's what it's about. I mean, some people find little ways through it, and some people don't. Some people get in trouble, but, they stumble their way through it. And, I mean, ultimately, it's all been a stumble for all of us, the whole free man sovereignty thing. But I think they're doing a fantastic job in, again, alerting people to the fact that it's a corrupt corporate system. But my argument really is that you're already sovereign. If someone's claiming that you're not, you need to ask them for proof of claim because, ultimately, I'm only answerable to the creator. That's what I like about this OPPT filing because it files that into their legal system. I've already said that. I've already said many times that the legal system they're using against you is based on ecclesiastic law, biblical law. There's three phrases in the Bible that I refer to. One that says God created man and gave man dominion over the earth. That's me. One that says man's law is an abomination and you must only follow the laws of God. And the laws of God are basically, you can sum it up in three words, do no harm, that's it. And another passage in the Bible that says, thou shalt not serve two masters. So my argument with their whole thing is who are you people? If you're claiming you have the right to use this biblical ecclesiastic legal system against me, then you're claiming you're a higher authority than God, and I need proof of claim. That's my whole thing. I don't need to go down a sovereignty rabbit hole to establish my freedom. I don't need to send back my birth certificate. I don't need to do anything to establish my freedom that the system requires I do because I'm already free. If I believe that I have to fill out forms and do all the stuff the system says I have to do in order to establish my freedom, then how free do I think I am? And if everybody thought like that, then the whole system would change in 3 seconds. So I think it's great, again, like I said, at exposing the corporate machine. And that's what's so good about this time in history. There's all this stuff being done. The OPPT making that filing and saying, hey, we're all free. The sovereignty movement doing the stuff that they've done to expose just what an act and what a scam it is. It's all part of the puzzle. And it's all showing people what this system is and how fictional it is and how corrupt it is and how it's a slavery system. So the idea, I believe, is for people to start respecting each other and just turn away from it. It's fiction anyway. It doesn't really exist. It only exists on paper. It's just in books. I mean, they come and they hassle you because it says to do so in this book. But if the whole society suddenly realized this, then we'd all turn away from it. But we're not going to do it without respect. We're all arguing amongst each other, saying who's got the right way. Is it the OPPT? Is it the sovereignty movement? Is it these guys? Is it those guys? We're all arguing about things. Nobody's got all of the answers. Nobody's got all of the right way. Let's put it all together on the table, start respecting each other's opinions as valid, and we can change the world in 3 seconds. It's all a fictional system anyway. So that's my attitude towards the whole thing. I mean, I just keep coming back to that because really the sovereignty movement's great, but there's a higher harmonic, and the harmonic is total freedom and knowing that you're free under God and there is nothing between you and God, whatever you perceive God to be. It doesn't matter whether it's Yahweh or Allah or a giant tin of baked beans. It doesn't matter. Whatever you perceive your creator to be, that's what you are answerable to ultimately. And if you have a preeminent trust between yourself and your creator that your directive here on this planet is service to creation, service to mankind, service to all creation, which includes yourself, includes everybody else, then you can't really go wrong. And that's my approach to the whole thing, brother.
Yes, exactly. You did say earlier that you believe that there is a global consciousness, right?
Well, I do because of how I believe reality works, how I believe my body works. I mean, when I understand that it's an electrical universe and everything I experience is electromagnetic, well, where does that spark come from, that God spark, that essence of life that comes from the Creator? What is that? It's an electrical energy. And I realize that this is just a biological computer that's downloading that frequency. And this can be proven. I often tell people if you take a kidney out of my body and put it in your body, then you'll start experiencing me. Not because the kidney has memory, but because it downloads me from the field. So ultimately it's just all energy. It's all conscious energy. And there are certain frequencies of that conscious energy that get downloaded into different biological computers that are tuned to those different frequencies, and we all experience reality from that particular perspective, which means that we're all one. We're all from the same energy field. It's a single consciousness, but we're completely and utterly unique in our perspective of reality. No one can be you any better than you can, and there is nobody else like you, nobody that has that perspective. No other frequency can be your frequency, because that is the aspect of creation that you are. And we need all of these frequencies to make up all of creation. And this includes every person, every human being, every dog, every cat, every animal, every plant, every tree, every rock, every grain of sand, every drop of water, everything.
Hang on a second, Max. We got a call. Do I still have you?
Yeah, you do.
Okay. We got a caller here.
Okay. Sorry about that, Max. We're still trying to figure out the group Skype here, but... Yeah, my name is Harry. I'm the founder of Truth Broadcast Network, and, you know, I work hard to bring the truth to people, obviously, and one of the things that I worry about is, you know, we are only going to live for so long. You know, the average human lives, you know, what, 70 years or whatever. You know, do you think that, I mean, it feels like we're passing a baton, or we're trying to pass a baton on to the younger generations to keep the truth alive, you know, over the generations. Do you think that we're succeeding in this long term? I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, in a certain respect, but I think we've got a very important window here. I mean, unfortunately, the youth of today has been brutalized. They've been led down this almost transhumanist path. They're so into computer games and this virtual reality. And I think, you know, really it was the previous generation and this generation that allowed the world to do this, and I think we've got a real responsibility here to make sure we bring mechanisms into play that are going to allow the youth to have the freedom they deserve. Because I honestly don't think that many of them will be capable of, because too much knowledge will be lost. You know, even with the digitization of knowledge, everything's become digital. The books are going off the shelves. You know, it's all becoming digital. Really, all they have to do to take knowledge away from humankind now is to shut down the power. And right. we've got to that stage. And I think we've got to start cultivating an attitude of respect. If we can do that, I really believe that's the key to the whole thing. If we can start respecting each other and seeing each other's opinions as valid, I mean, we're all completely unique in this, and if your perspective is to invalidate the opinion of others, then how valid is your perspective, you know? We're all unique in this, and we're all here for this wonderful experience, and it could be something really, really wonderful. But we have an obligation to bring it about, and we could hopefully, I mean, we are seeing some of the youth get up and start making noise, but not really enough, you know? I mean, unfortunately, it takes, you know, youth is, what do they say, youth is wasted on the young. You need to have gone through and seen this. And the changes in your life and my life have been so rapid over the last 40 years. And now we're a world is being created, and they're just not noticing. It's just the way it is to them, you know. So,
well, I saw a video put out by Virgin Mobile. It's a commercial. And it's literally called Retrain Your Brain. I looked into it because, you know, I study transhumanism a lot also. But, I mean, it was just blatant mind control used in the commercial, you know, so openly as if to say, you know, we're going to be so blatant about the mind control that you'll think it's a joke. But they are literally trying to mind control people into buying Virgin Mobile, you know, and they are retraining people's brains. And as we come across this, you know, what some people refer to as a technological singularity, I mean, what are the implications of that going to be on, you know, people maintaining a perception of reality?
Oh, it's going to be horrendous. See, that's the problem. You know, like I was talking about before, you know, we actually do come from a singularity. I believe if you can understand the concept of the energetic universe, it's a singularity. But what they're tending to do is co-opt that. And like, I believe we've really, really been shut down. We're operating to about 3% of our capability with all the fluoride and all the poisons and the toxins and everything that's been done to us. I mean, we've been brutalized. And so what they've done now is they've given us the internet and mobile phones and all this digital stuff, which we take to like a fish to water. It seems so natural for us to have this instant communication and this longing to be a singularity and have this telepathic understanding of each other. Because we already have it. We're already capable of all that sort of stuff on a far, far more transcendental level than what we could possibly believe with our limited awareness. But they're offering us this cheap, digital, clunky version that we're taking to it like a fish to water, but it can be controlled. That's why they want us in this transhumanist machine version of the singularity. Like I said, it's like they're trying to turn mankind into the Borg. That seems to be the ultimate goal here, to turn into the Borg and go out and assimilate the rest of the universe. If you look at films such as Transcendent Man by Ray Kurzweil, where they virtually say this, that's what they're going to do. Nanotech infused with artificial technology, with artificial intelligence, it's going to go out and assimilate and harness the power of the rest of the universe to improve our consciousness. And this is a terrible thing. This would be absolute total control of the entire everything. And it'd be a terrible, terrible way to be. And that's where we're going if we don't pay attention. But like I said earlier, I think now we've got the opportunity to do it. This is the first time. This is the only generation in history that has had all of the tools they need for freedom and has had all the information right there at their fingertips. And the truth movement, really, those who are sincere about it and those whose hearts are in the right spot, is making a huge difference in this planet. We're really, really shifting things. And it's become the real media now. And, you know, people who want information go and get it from YouTube. They don't get it from the mainstream TV. And you've even got TV news shows that are getting ratings by having YouTube people on the news now. So, you know, it's the new media, and we are making a difference. There's a lot of division. There's a lot of people attacking each other through the truth movement, you know. He disagrees with me. He must be a government agent. And I'll start putting out videos, hey, you're this or you're that. I mean, apparently I'm someone from the Green Party who's someone else, and I wear a prosthetic face and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, the more you start waking people up and the more people start really hearing the message and the world starts to change, the more you get attacked. And, yeah, but we are making a difference, brother, but I think this is the generation that has to do it. We can't count on handing it down to the youth. There are a lot that are becoming involved, but I think the onus to bring about this change really is in our hands.
Right on. Well, I want to thank you for coming on to the network, Max. I'll go ahead and hand it back over to Steve now, but keep up the good work, all right?
Pleasure talking to you, brother.
All right.
Okay. I have some more questions. Would you like to take a short little break here and come back, maybe see if we can get some more questions from audience? And
yeah, not a problem. Take a five-minute break, huh? I'll make a cup of tea.
All right. I will run a promo clip, and we will be right back here in just a few minutes. Okay, we are back. Are you here, Max?
I certainly am.
Okay. Brought up the wrong browser there. I was just going to continue on with the little call-in by Max Egan presentation I had on, and we can see if anybody else wants to call in. The Skype number is 347-609-0911. Anybody want to call in, ask Max a question, go ahead and do that now. Otherwise, we'll get into other topics. Well, okay. What are your thoughts on on this puppet here in America, Obama or Barry Satoru, whatever his alias happens to be.
Max? The latest puppet on a long line of puppets, you know. What can I say? I really don't really differentiate between the presidents much these days. I mean, they all do the same thing. I can't really judge him for what he does. He's just the same as his predecessor, who is the same as his predecessor in many ways. I mean, some people are more obviously puppets than others, and I think Obama is more obviously a puppet than anybody has been for a while, although Bush was, I mean, they just don't do anything, really. They're sort of mouthpieces, you know? And really the whole system's a corporate system and it just marches on. It's a war machine. Unfortunately, that's what America is a war machine. And really it's kind of Israel's war machine in many ways. Israel is run by the banking cartels, of course. The banking cartels are all part of the Roman system. So, I mean, he's just a mouthpiece. He's just a figurehead. He has no real power. He just does what he's told to do and he makes it look professional, you know? Good actor. Actually, he's not even really a good actor. He uses that teleprompter all the time. So
yes, he's a good reader. He's in his own book. He tells the book that William Ayers wrote. He says that he didn't go to college to be taught anything. He went to college to be trained.
That's the thing. That's the mentality. It's this left brain understanding of the world. I mean, I don't know. What can I say? He's just there to do what he's told to do. And it wouldn't matter who was there. The agenda would still be going forward exactly the same as it has been going forward. Now, it won't matter who comes after him. It'll still go forward the same way. You know, the mistake that you can actually bring about change by voting in a new political figurehead is one of the biggest fantasies that's ever been propagated against human consciousness. You know, the system is fiction. It only exists on paper. We made the whole thing up. It's simply a control mechanism. And we have to step away from it. You'll never get there by voting. I mean, it's just supporting organized crime, really. But again, in the American system, it's difficult because if you don't vote in the American system, then the people who, you know, the party will vote. It doesn't matter if you only get the guys who support the president voting. It doesn't matter. The president will still get in. In Australia here, it's compulsory to vote. And I would suggest that in Australia it would be good if nobody voted. Just everybody stay home the next election and they would know what to do. If everybody stayed home in the American election, well, you'd still get the guys would go and vote for themselves and they'd win. So, you've got a different system there, but, It's just theatre. Politics is theatre for the masses. That's all it is. It serves no real purpose except to give people the illusion that they have a choice in the matter.
Yeah. I seen, even if nobody did vote, they would still have Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck and Batman to vote for them.
Yeah, wouldn't matter. May as well. Doesn't make any difference. They use cardboard cutouts for all the good it does.
I wanted to get in. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Vote for a mannequin, you know?
Yeah, right.
Get a mannequin from the department store and dress him up how you want and say, that's what I want to look like. Oh, that's my president, you know?
Well, Obama's running opponent was almost like a mannequin. He stood there in his $10,000 starch suit, and he looked like a mannequin to me anyways.
Yeah.
Do you think all these other little ten horn dictators from all around the world, like North Korea, or this Chavez that just kicked the bucket here last week. Do you think they're all control puppets too?
Not all of them. Not all of them. I think many of them are very fearful of the West. Many of them have you know, you got to understand, you got different cultures, vastly, vastly different cultures around the world. But what happened to them was that they all got discovered by the crown, basically. It was the crown who went out, you know, the Roman system, the Vatican system.